This week, we'll discuss the importance of getting young workers active in the labor movement with AFGE SSA Local 836 Executive Vice President Matt Perlinger. And later, we'll be joined by Professor Jeffrey Hilgert, author of Hazard or Hardship: Crafting Global Norms on the Right to Refuse Unsafe Work. But first, we've been joined by AFGE National President J. David Cox. President Cox, welcome back.
Thank you, Jason. Glad to be here.
President Cox, this week, of course, we got word, as the world did, that the United States government partially shut down, locked out the federal employees. What is your reaction to this?
Number one, Jason, it's devastating. To believe that federal and D.C. government employees have suffered 3 years of pay freezes, paid additional amounts in retirement costs, have been furloughed up to 6 days this year, and now they've been locked out of their jobs. Our people want to go to work. They want to service the American public. They want to do their jobs, and now they've been shut out of their jobs, or either they're being required to go to work and won't get paid on payday. This should not happen in any civilized country.
President Cox, how many people figure to be impacted by this one way or the other?
Nationwide, we would figure there's between 800,000 and 1 million federal employees that are going to be furloughed without pay, and probably the same number that's going to be required to go to work every day and not be paid. And inside of AFGE, it's pretty much a 50-50 split as to people that's deemed essential, non-essential. Every government employee is an essential employee, does a great service. It's just sort of how they make the determinations when they want to lock us out of our jobs.
Many outside of the federal government may think that this is a D.C. problem, this is a Washington problem, but we're talking about a large portion of the federal workforce that isn't even in the Washington metro area, right?
Jason, you're very correct, and most federal employees do not work in the District of Columbia. They're all over the country, and our folks, we know that. We're from Guam to Puerto Rico and from the northern tip of Maine to the southern tip of Texas. We're everywhere in between. And our folks, they want to go to work. They want to do their job. And a few things that I've been telling everyone is, number one, we want President Obama to keep his promise to us as federal employees that, number one, we will not be the bargaining chip. No further cuts and freezes in our pay, no further cuts in retirement benefits, no further furloughs, things of that nature. We want the president to stand firm. We are not the ransom to be paid in this hostage situation that we're experiencing in this country, and it is a hostage situation.
Talk to me about what AFGE members are saying in agencies that have been affected this week already. I'm thinking in agencies like EPA and HUD and some others.
EPA, HUD, many of our agencies, 97% of the employees in HUD have been furloughed, about the same number in EPA. NASA, most of the employees have been furloughed. The list just keeps going down. Department of Justice, every agency is experiencing furloughs. And as some agencies continue to run out of money, in the VA, next week, the VBA, the benefit sides, the regional offices, will run out of money. They've got enough money to operate until Monday. And after that, they will be closed down. And also, there'll be no veterans benefits, no money to fund veterans benefits.
President Cox, talk to me about your thoughts on deeming some employees essential while others non-essential.
It's a play on words. It's a mechanism that I think that's used to try to keep everything flowing as normal as possible so that the American citizens don't realize that the government is shut down, employees are locked out of their job. I don't think it has any meaning of the person's value and to what they do in the form of being a government employee and the services they deliver to the American people. It's just sort of how the process works. If anything, I still believe that it's illegal and not right to require people to work without a funding appropriations. At this point, while we will take the stand and we will fight very, very hard to see that everyone gets paid, there is no guarantee that anyone's going to get paid. This is a strange Congress, a different breed of members on Capitol Hill.
You're listening to AFGE's Inside Government, and we're here with AFGE National President J. David Cox. President Cox, at the top of the interview, you mentioned that some federal employees would be required to go to work, although they would not be getting paid. That seems to be the case for members in the Bureau of Prisons who just this week held a press conference in Washington to talk about the staffing and funding deficiencies and how that relates to worker safety. Can you talk to me about that situation?
Sure, Jason. All of our correctional officers and most employees in the Bureau of Prisons will be required to go to work each day, will not get paid on payday, and already the prisons are extremely unsafe. I can tell you, we have correctional officers. There's one officer with 150 inmates. This past week, we had a press conference and talked about the fact three correctional officers, three very fine young men, lost their lives needlessly because of insufficient staffing that goes on in the Department of Justice and Bureau of Prisons. It's not right. It's wrong. We should, number one, if we're going to put people in prisons, we have to be able to fund the prisons and have enough staff to make them safe to work in.
How does this government shutdown, this government lockout, impact programs like Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid?
Social Security benefits will continue to be paid and Medicaid and Medicare, but at the same token, new claims for Social Security, people that's applying for Social Security disability, things of that nature, they can't get processed. So it'll be a stalemate. It's going to stop the system. It'll stop the flow of work that will be going on in Social Security.
It sounds to me that many of the responses that we've heard around the country from federal employees are simply that they want to go to work.
Certainly, they want to go to work. Number one, they want to do their jobs. They want to service the American public. They want to have a paycheck to support their families. I mean, that's a normal state of well-being for all of us, to want to go to work and to make a living and to have a decent life. But that's just not happening right now with our members. This gross uncertainty that we're experiencing in this country, it's affecting our members. It's affecting our ability to go out to purchase things. It's affecting the economy. The stock markets are dropping. I don't understand the philosophy of the members of the House of Representatives that's just pushing us over the cliff.
There's something else at play here, and that's the dedication of the federal worker who provides these vital government services, along with wanting to go to work. They also want to serve the American people, and these are people who, as you have mentioned, work at EPA, they work at HUD, they work in the Bureau of Prisons, they work at SSA. Talk to me about that commitment of the federal employee.
Jason, you know as well as I know, and I'm sure all of our listeners today, that most of them are federal employees, there's a strong commitment. People wanted to be civil servants. They wanted to work for the federal government or D.C. city government. They want to do those type things. They feel an ownership. They feel a responsibility. I wanted to care for veterans in the VA. My wife wants to work at the VA and process veterans' claims. I mean, that's what people really want to do. It's a passion of their life. And to not be able to do that and to know that the work that you're not providing, that there's someone at the end of the food chain there that's paying a terrible price. Lynn was commenting to me the other day that she knew she had veterans' claims laying on her desk that was very, very important. People that had been suffering with many injuries for years, but if she's not at work, she can't process those claims, and these people will wait longer for their disabilities and things of that nature. I don't understand the House of Representatives. Again, they're holding veterans hostage. They're holding this country hostage.
President Cox, AFGE has never backed away from a fight. What is the union doing this time in this fight to respond?
Number one, no, we will never, ever back away from a fight. We are out there. We did a nationwide teletown hall meeting that we invited over 200,000 of our members to join in on a call, and literally had hundreds of questions to thousands of questions. So many we couldn't get them all answered. We're out there in rallies. We're picketing various places. Our members are doing media interviews and press interviews. We are out there, and we are going to be pushing like all get out. We're going to make the people understand, and we are going to get the attention of the House of Representatives. It's time to pass a clean continuing resolution and allow the members of the House of Representatives to vote it up or down.
Is there a legal avenue to pursue here on this?
We are certainly checking out every legal avenue, Jason. The lawyers are looking at it night and day, and we will certainly chart any course of action in which we can take. We've been there before. Each time we're trying to find new ways to go after this legally. Sometimes we run into roadblocks, but we will continue to explore every legal option that we have. But I think our best court right now is the court of public opinion, that the American public wants the services our members provide, and that we need to be out there rebel-rousing the American public.
Many of our rank-and-file members, as you know, take home in the neighborhood of $500 a week. Do you think that point has been lost upon Congress and decision-makers, that the people being affected by this really are middle-class Americans?
Totally. They have lost sight of that. I mean, I hear them talk about the fact, oh, all federal employees are very rich, wealthy people. I've got so much money, they don't know what to do with it. Well, I'd like for them to come meet most AFGE members. Our people are making around $500 a week, some a little more, some a little less, but they're struggling. To not get a paycheck will affect their ability to support their families, to keep a roof over their head, to buy groceries, to give the kids school money, things of that nature. So, no, it's going to be a tremendous impact upon folks, and again, an impact upon the American citizens that we're not serving.
Do you see this situation as perhaps an opportunity to tell the stories of federal employees and the services that they provide?
Clearly, I want every one of our members out there every day talking about what they do, that they process veterans' claims, that they take care of veterans, that they process Social Security claims, that they inspect the food and keeps this country safe. They protect the borders. They're protecting us from the very, very tough criminals and the people that's in the federal penitentiaries, those type of things. We need that constant reminder every day that what we do is very, very important, and that Americans are paying a price because we're not on the job doing those services.
President Cox, as we close out here today, what's your message to the House, the Senate, and even President Obama in this situation?
I'll start with the President of the United States. Let's start up and work down. President Obama, keep your promise to us. We are not the bargaining chip. We are not the ransom note. Don't use us in the hostage-taking situation. No further freezes to our pay, no cuts to our retirement, no further furloughs. United States Senate, hold firm. Again, we are not the ransom note. Don't hold us hostage. Don't cut our pay. Don't cut our pensions. Don't cut our health insurance. No. United States House of Representatives, we need the Speaker of the House to be a leader and allow a very clean up or down vote on a continuing resolution and allow the members to vote that way. They need to step up and be leaders and accept the fact that this country needs to operate. And the fact of holding this country hostage over the Obamacare and those type things is not the avenue to go.
AFGE National President J. David Cox. President Cox, always great to have you on the program. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, Jason. Always glad to be here.
You're listening to AFGE's Inside Government, available on demand at InsideGovernmentRadio.com. I'm your host, Jason Fornicola, and up next, we'll be joined by AFGE SSA Local 836 Executive Vice President Matt Perlinger, who will discuss efforts to engage younger AFGE members.